Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the best news you've ever heard, the best news that you've ever heard. You know, we live in a day of 24-hour news and the news cycle constantly changing. How many of you would say you're a news junkie? You're listening to news. You like to know what's going on in the world. And so maybe you're not only watching it on cable, but you're checking your iPad or you're checking your phone. Or maybe you're like me and your interest is more seasonal or topical. So like I like the NFL and I'm a big fan of the world champion Denver Broncos. Just thought I'd throw that in on Easter Sunday. But you know, they're without a quarterback. Peyton Manning is retired and all the Chiefs fans said amen. But you know, so I'm like curious who they're going to get, you know, and so at least once a day, honestly, I'm going on the NFL app and I'm just looking to see if there's an update on Denver signing Kaepernick to be our next quarterback and to lead us to another Super Bowl. So, you know, and when I hear that, honestly, I'm just going to be like so super excited because I've wanted that since the middle of last season. And you know, they say that news can affect your emotional well-being. That the news, what we hear, has an impact on us. Psychologists say that if a person is exposed regularly to violent or traumatic news, the incidence of anxiety escalates drastically, and in some people, not all people, but in some people, it can go to the point of post-traumatic stress disorder, all from the news that they hear. The fact of the matter is, the news we hear determines not only how we view the world around us, but they say it determines how we feel about our own world and our own life and even our own personal well-being. That's why Easter is so important, because Easter is the good news. In fact, when you read through the gospel record, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one of those authors telling the story of Jesus' ministry and of Jesus' death, and they start their record with words that say the gospel according to, the good news according to Matthew, the good news according to Mark or to Luke or to John. The gospels tell us the story, the narrative, the events, that Jesus came, that he was God, very God, born of a woman, that he lived a sinless life, and that he went at a certain point at age 30 approximately, he began to preach, and for 3 years he taught and he did miracles, and then after 3 years he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. What does that mean? Why is that good news? When you come to the book of Romans, which is another New Testament book, we have a man by the name of Paul who explains to us theologically the significance of what we've read narratively in the Gospels. And in Romans chapter 5, really the whole book of Romans is the gospel according to Paul. But in Romans chapter 5, Paul tells us some wonderful things about the good news. I want to look at just three verses. And in Romans chapter 5, we read this, verse 9. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. What's that saying? What's Paul talking about there? When you read the Bible, you find out this. You find out that originally when God made man, he made man for the purpose of having fellowship, having relationship with him. And God would come and he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and he put them in a beautiful place. Eden was the name of it. And he told them to tend that garden, and it was wonderful, and it was awesome. And one of the things that's interesting when you read the account is that when man sinned, and I just kind of toss this in because I thought it was a very, very interesting thing. When man sinned, all of a sudden, there's work. Sin corrupts everything. Sin makes everything hard. Sin brings in death. Before man sins, before man disobeys God, there's no death. Before man sins, man walks with God and enjoys the presence of God, and it's all good. After man sins, now there's work, now there's death. Because God has given us the understanding in the Bible to understand that the wages of sin is death, that sin brings death. Before there was sin, there was no death. And what happens is, not only is there physical death, but there's spiritual death. There's a separation from God. And so God said, I want to make a way for man to once again walk with me and to know me and to be able to spend forever with me without the threat of death. The Bible says this, that in order to cover sin, there has to be a sacrifice. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In the book of Hebrews. And so man has to offer some kind of sacrifice, but no animal can forgive sin. It can only point to the fact that sin brings death. So God sent his son Jesus to die for us, to take our place, to bear the punishment for our sin, that if we put our faith in him, we might have forgiveness of sin. This is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 9. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, watch this, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Sin has to be judged. Sin will be judged. God is a righteous God, and God is a just God. And there's no justice if sin is ignored. Sin isn't stopped if sin is ignored. And so there is a punishment for sin. God has established that. It says this in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, just as each person is destined to die once, so you only die once, and remember Ben Franklin said there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. Well, everybody is going to die. I mean, it's a certainty. And after death, what happens? After a person dies physically, their spirit's still alive. The question is, where will you spend eternity? And that will be determined based on the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. You say, what is that judgment like? It is a giving account for those who have not received the free gift of forgiveness in Christ Jesus by putting their faith in him and saying, Jesus, I believe you took my place. You died for my sin. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm putting my faith in you as my Savior. When you do that, what happens is the whole record of your sinfulness is canceled. It's washed away. Paul says this in Colossians. It's an interesting verse. Chapter 2 and verse 14, he, that's God, canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That when you and I put our faith in him, God in his foreknowledge knew all those who would ever believe in him, and he took the sin of all who would believe on Jesus, and he punished Jesus for our sin. At the cross, our sin is forgiven. If a person says, you know what, I don't think the cross is that big a deal and I don't think I need forgiveness, then that person is on their own when it comes to giving an account to God as they stand on the threshold of eternity. Everybody will live forever because we're spiritual beings. We're going to live forever. The question is, where are you going to live? Are you going to live in heaven because you've received the free gift of salvation, or are you going to live away from God, which is what hell is? It's a place that lacks everything that God is: comfort, peace, beauty, hope, life, light, joy. Hell is a place of suffering. It's a place of outer darkness. It's a place of torment. It's a place where God is absolutely absent. Here's what the Bible tells us about that final judgment. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it, and the earth and sky fled from his presence." You say, what's that about? Well, at the end of time, there's going to be a resurrection of all of those who never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will give an account before God. What you're reading there about is the uncreation of the universe. He spoke it into existence, Genesis chapter 1 tells us. And at the end of time, he's going to remove it, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But in that interim between this life or this universe and the new heaven and new earth, there will be an accounting that people will give. What's it going to be like? It says, "And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life." What's the book of life? Well, in other parts of the Bible, it's the book that is the record of all of those who ever received Jesus Christ as their Savior, whoever put their faith in God to make them righteous. Once a person does that, their name's put in the book of life. It's as if as God is judging people in that moment, he just wants to make sure that there was no mistake, that their name isn't actually in the book of life, because if you're at this judgment, your name's not there. What is there is a record of everything that you've ever done. Jesus talked about this. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12. He said, "Men will give an account in that day of every idle word they've ever spoken." I mean, that's how detailed the records are. Everything you've ever said that was a sinful thing, whatever that is, whether it's a lie, whether it was unkindness that was spoken, whether it was deceit, whatever it is, profanity, whatever it is, give an account to it. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, it says this. It says, "The books were opened," and it said, "And the dead were judged according to what they'd done as recorded in the books." In other words, someday it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And God, in his love for you, wanted to make a way for you and I to escape that judgment and to have eternal life with him. That's what Paul is talking about as you go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. "Since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from condemnation." So what we're celebrating at Easter is that he bore our judgment and made a way for us to have our sins forgiven. But not only have our sins forgiven, which would be wonderful in and of itself, but look at what else it says in verse 10. "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son." Do you know what happens is when you and I put our faith in Christ for his salvation, suddenly we become his friend. I mean, it's not that we just know about God or we know about the facts of the Bible, but we enter into a personal relationship with God, a friendship with him. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That you can know God in a personal way, in a powerful way, in a life-changing way. You see, a lot of people misunderstand what we're talking about in eternal life. It's not something you just get when you go to heaven, but when you and I give our heart to Christ, he changes us, he changes our heart, and then he enlightens our mind that we might know him in a way that we never did before, personally. Walking with him, experiencing his power, experiencing his presence, working in our life. He not only saves us from hell, he saves us to a life of purpose and a life with his power and a life with his presence, and we begin to walk with God. And honestly, what it does is it absolutely changes everything about life. It's a whole different way of life. It's really to be a Christian. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless a man's born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." To be a Christian is to become a whole new person. Paul says later in Romans chapter 5, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. What happens when a person puts their faith in Christ? It's the beginning of a miraculous life where you become a brand new person. And you know God in a whole new way. What's so sad is there's a lot of people who think it's enough just to identify with Christ or just to try to be a good person or just know about him. And all those things are fine, but none of those things will change your life. What changes your life is when you open your heart to him, you become a new person in him, and you become a friend with him. What happens as a result of that is the God who changes our heart begins then, his power begins to work in our life in a way that changes our life. That he begins to touch people around us, work in circumstances, because God wants to, he's good and he does good, the Bible says, and he wants to work in our life. And so Paul is simply alluding to that. He's saying, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. In other words, if the death of Jesus was so good, it saved you from judgment and from an eternal hell, then doesn't it stand to reason if his death did that, what's his life? What's his power going to do? The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, when you open your heart to him, you put your faith in him, that power is working in you and working in me.